Psalm 6. This is once again dedicated to the chief musician. This wouldn't be a court musician, somebody that's there for the entertainment of David or something of the sort. No, this is the head musician, a Levite, the head musician of the temple. And anytime we see a dedication to the chief musician, that's who we're talking about there. It's with stringed instruments on an 8-stringed harp, and we see the authorship here is from David. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled, but you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver me. O save me for your mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows old because of all my enemies. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and greatly troubled. Let them turn back and be shamed suddenly. Did you notice the word God is not in here? Every single time God is addressed, and there are many of them. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times in these 10 verses. It's always Jehovah. Jehovah, who is who he is. Jehovah, who changes not. Jehovah, who is the covenant God. Jehovah, who is merciful, gracious, kind, and loving. Jehovah, who forgives the iniquity of his people. Jehovah, the one who redeems his people. In the days of David, it was a forward-looking thing. David may have already been promised. We don't know the timing of this. But it's possible that he had already been promised what we see in 2 Samuel 7, the building of a house for him, an eternal house with an eternal king who would come and would save his people from their sin. In any case, this one whom David is addressing is not a God who is impossible to please. He is not a God who is severe. He is not a God who is unapproachable. No, because he first has approached his people. He first has come to save them. A pattern he has shown since in the garden. He went walking in the cool of the day. He went calling for his servants who had fallen and who were naked and who were ashamed. He went for them and said he would come for them through a seed who would yet come. This is the same one to whom David is crying 8 times in 10 verses. Crying out to the one who saves his people because he needs saving. He needs mercy. He is, for some reason at this point, very aware of his sinfulness, very aware of his natural, fallen inability to be accepted by God. He cannot rely upon justice. He cannot cry out for righteousness. He cannot cannot depend on justice, for all these would condemn him. He must cry out for mercy. And this God, the same yesterday, today, and forever, in Jesus Christ, gives mercy to sinners who cry out for mercy. We see not only here saving faith, an expression of saving faith, but we see repentance as well. He cries out about being weary with his groaning. He is teary over his sin. He finds that he is tired of his sin, and he sees the coming of enemies as kind of a consequence of it. But here we see repentance in verse 8. He departs from wicked men and calls for them to depart from him. Anytime we are turning to God in Jesus Christ, we're turning away from sin. Just like if you were out on this road in front of this church building, if you were to turn away from Jumbo, you would be turning toward McGuffey, or at least from Road 67 to 110. Okay? You can't go both. You can't do both. You must turn from one as you turn to the other. As we turn to godliness in Jesus Christ, as we turn to life and forgiveness and acceptance and childhood in Jesus Christ, while we turn away from wickedness. David here has utmost confidence then, the back end of verse 8 and in verse 9 here. And here is a threefold speaking of Jehovah. Now, any time in Hebrew poetry we have a repetition of something, actually any time we have a repetition, it gives emphasis. So Jesus, for example, saying, "Truly, truly, I say to you," it means, you know, better pay attention. This is a very important thing here. When we see the seraphim in the temple in Isaiah 6 crying out, "Holy, holy, holy," this is a super emphasis. And we have that same force here. "For Jehovah has heard the voice of my weeping. Jehovah has heard my supplication." And on the basis of these assured things that have happened already, he says, "Jehovah will receive my prayer," implying that he will receive me in and through the Savior whom he has sent. "Therefore, let all my enemies be ashamed and greatly troubled. Let them turn back and be ashamed suddenly." Now, how could David pray this? How, if David was the great sinner that he's claiming to be, how could he say all this to a holy God? How could he look upon him for any kind of deliverance? Well, I've said, and I've pointed out, that God is a God of mercy. But it's because that mercy is extended in and through the person and work of Jesus Christ. It is because Jesus endured the penalty for David's and all his children's sin, that David and all who come to Christ in the same faith as David finds mercy. It is because Jesus experienced all this. He experienced the weight of guilt that he didn't even earn. He experienced the consequence of it, the curse and the abandonment of his father. He endured the taunts and the torments and the tortures of his enemies. And he went and endured all this to the point where he said, "It is finished." He went to his death, trusting his soul to his father, and was raised again victorious. He paid it off. That's why he said it, "It's finished." And death, the wages of sin, could not hold him anymore. And so he is raised. He is victorious over sin. He has brought in the new age. It's because of all this that David and every single one who has already looked to Jesus, everyone who is currently looking to Jesus and everyone who yet will look to Jesus can have, certainly will have, forgiveness, redemption, acceptance, all this from Jehovah God, who is merciful to repentant sinners. Well, let's sing from Psalm 6 here. There is no other version, so it's just plain old Psalm 6 here. And as we do so, let me urge you to think of a couple of things. Number one, pains and difficulties that David speaks of having to endure because of his sin are the same agonies that the Savior endured for you and all your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. He endured all this in his love for sinners. Secondly, take it to heart and may these confessions of sin and these expressions of trust in Jesus be not only in your mouth, but in your mind and in your heart. Psalm 6.